precious Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, bowing ourselves before thee, Lord, in reverence, asking that you would come and open your word to us this morning, this lesson, dear God, to uplift, Lord, and to encourage and give strength, Lord, and understanding. We ask, Lord, for you to have your perfect will in this service. Receive all glory from it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 4. And we started last Sunday, we began teaching about grace. And I want to go into a little lesson here this morning to show you more about God's grace, maybe from a strange place. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. The Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thine hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you thee her strength. Fugitive and vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Amen. You may be seated. Now, like I said, this might seem like a strange place to take our text to preach about grace. But God extends grace to everyone. Everyone is given an opportunity, irregardless of who they are. They're given the same opportunity. Everyone's given the same opportunity to either accept or reject the truth. And Cain was sincere. We can even say this. The prophet said Cain was a believer. He believed in God. He believed in worship. And he came with sincerity. And he didn't just haphazardly throw this offering together. Cain did it with sincerity. He brought the best that he had and presented it in the best way possible. And did it with the hope of gaining God's favor. And he did it with the thought that he wasn't coming doing this as a social thing, but Cain actually wanted to worship God. But his offering wasn't accepted. It's because his offering was given without revelation of the word. His offering was given the fruit of the gardens, of his labors, rather. And the Bible says that in Hebrews that by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It's because Abel had a revelation. It wasn't fruit that brought him out of the garden. He had a revelation. It wasn't an apple that caused the fall. But Cain was sincere. He was a believer. He wanted, Brother Branham says, he wanted his soul to be saved. He wanted to be saved. But if all you had to do was come and kneel at an altar, go to church, and give to the church to be saved, then Cain was justified. But God requires more than that. Notice that when God pronounced his judgment on Cain because of what Cain did, because Cain, because his offering wasn't accepted, he became jealous. And I find it quite striking in the scripture that after Cain's judgment was pronounced upon him, he says, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." And I think this is someone who just killed his brother. And he's saying, "My punishment for killing my brother is greater than I can bear. It's just too much." Cain wasn't repentant over what he did. Cain never repented of that. He just said, "What you're punishing me with is too great." Find that in great contrast to the book of Ezra, to where Ezra speaks and says, punishment is less than what we, our iniquities, and deserved. So there's a true repentant heart. Cain's saying, "What you're putting on me is too much." And he said, "If any man sees me, they'll kill me." Here he had just killed his brother, but he was afraid of being killed himself. God said, "I'll put a mark on you. And any man seeing you won't kill you." And he went, the Bible says, he went from the presence of the Lord and went and dwelled in Nod, which is in the east of Eden. And he went from the presence of the Lord, never again to come into the presence of the Lord. But know this, Cain didn't quit worshiping. What Cain, grace was extended to Cain, though. When Cain's offering wasn't accepted, God extended grace to him. He gave him opportunity. He said, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not also be accepted?" In other words, if you do what Abel did. Because, see, Cain seen that Abel's offering was vindicated. It was vindicated that that's what God wanted. And Cain saw it. He knew it. Brother Branham says in one place, said he knew the perfect will of God and had an opportunity to do that, just coming to worship that way. But he got lifted up in pride. And he didn't want to humble himself to the vindicated word and come and bring and worship the way that God was saying, "Will you worship like your brother? I'll accept it. This is the right way." Cain knew it was the right way. He saw God accepted it. If Cain wanted to be accepted, all he had to do was do that. That's what God was telling him. But he says, if you don't do it, it's because sin or unbelief lays at the door. You'll notice as we go on in our teaching between this about grace, and then on Wednesday night or Thursday nights, we've been teaching on by the will of God, there'll be a little bit of overlap in some of these things. because we're teaching about the will of God. But Cain knew the will of God. It was vindicated before him. And after it was shown before him to be this is what God wanted, Cain, knowing what was right, refused to do it. But God extended grace to him. He went after him. He said, if you do well, you'll be accepted. That was grace being extended to Cain, giving him opportunity. If you want to be accepted, do this. Patrice, you're still, Brother Adam says, and because he was rejected on the spiritual side, then it caused a jealousy to rise in him because he was greedy. What a thing, what a tremendous thing. Cain became jealous because of not willing to reconcile to God by the same appropriate way his brother came. God said, if you'll worship like Abel, you'll do well. But Cain as much said, here's what I put together. This is what I've got. Here's what I give. You can take this or leave it. Either one you want to do, just suit yourself. Now, that's the kind of attitude of people all the time in church life. See, I go to church. I help the church. I do this. If God can't accept that, that's the best I can do. But it still isn't that. God doesn't just require that. God requires you to submit yourself to him, to surrender yourself, and to accept the vindicated word. And that was the thing that Cain failed to do, was accept the vindicated word. Three kinds of believers, he says. Notice Cain, God told him, why don't you worship like your brother? You'll do all right. You'll do well if you'll do that. But no, he knew too much about it. He rejected the original vindicated word. And if that ain't like his children today, they reject the vindicated word. God said, if you worship like your brother, you'll do well. He didn't want to do it. After it's brought right up to you and showed to you that it is the seal of God, and just because of prestige, or you have to give up something or quit your denomination or something to receive it and then walk away from it, you know what you do? You seal yourself out of the kingdom. Mark of the beast. God told Cain, just go over and worship like your brother. Bring a lamb. Come down here. Worship like your brother. You'll do all right. Do as your brother does. You'll be all right. He wouldn't do it. This is the best offer I can, you can take it or leave it. And he was marked and went out of the presence of God. He was marked. You know, we're at a time where the Bible speaks about there would be the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. And the wise had oil in their lamps. And the foolish virgins, they were still virgins. They were sincere. They worshiped. They worshiped God. They were sincere about worshiping God. They were sincere about keeping themselves pure from the world. But they lacked the oil. Brother Branham says, when you start seeing them going after the oil, you better have your lamps trimmed. And that's the point where, that's where we're at today. We're at the point of them going after the oil themselves. It says, give us some of your oil. So not so, lest we not have enough. You have to go and get it to them that sell it. You have to go get it same place I got it. Same way I got it. I can't give you the Holy Ghost. You can't give somebody else the Holy Ghost. Only God can. And they'll have to come before God to get it. But why would it be that they wouldn't have it? I believe it's because they think they've got it now. And they're going to come to a realization that they don't have it. They think they've got it because of some vindication or other they've looked at, something they've looked at as a vindication that they've got it. Whether it was in emotion or speaking in tongues or whatever it might be, I felt this or I felt that, this come down over me or whatever, you know, and the sad thing about it is, when you find an individual that thinks these things or looks to them as their vindication of having it, that's also the way they present it to others. So others that are seeking it are getting it presented to them. This is what should happen to you for you to get it. So they're not even seeking for the right thing then. But that's where we're at. We're at the time of the sleeping virgins. Turn with me to the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. And he paid fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. And what's the difference between Jonah going from the presence of the Lord and Cain going from the presence of the Lord? Jonah was just running from what God wanted him to do. Jonah was just running from God. He was running from a call that was on his life. It wasn't the same as Cain, that he was given a vindicated word and then rejected it. And the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. This right here is the grace of God. Jonah ran. God could have just cut him off. You didn't do what I've told you to do. He could have just cut him off. But you realize he was God's man. He was the one God chose to do this. And God wasn't going to let him get away from it. So the grace of God was to stop him. The grace of God was to bring up this great storm into the sea to where the ship was about to be sunk. That was the grace of God. The grace of God was that every man on the ship began to, as the Bible said, cry out to their own God for salvation, to save them from this great storm. And they begin to throw things off the ship to lighten the load, to try to save themselves. And where was Jonah? He was down fast asleep down in the ship. And they come up and woke him up and told him, get up and cry unto your God that He might save us. And Jonah told him, this whole storm has come up because of me. Remember, they cast lots to see who the lot would fall on. It fell on Jonah. Jonah said, yeah, it's me. I'm the one. And the Bible says they knew he was running from the presence of the Lord. And they said, they cried the more and prayed, what can they do? And said, don't let this innocent blood fall on our hands. Don't let this blood be on our hands, this man. And so they asked Jonah, what are we going to do to abate this storm? Jonah said, cast me overboard. That was the grace of God. You realize when Jonah began to run, God wasn't surprised. God knew exactly what Jonah's reaction was going to be. And it all worked into the perfect plan of God. Because Jonah, as they threw him into the sea, the Bible says God prepared or made a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah, while he was in the belly of this great fish, faced toward Jerusalem and prayed. And the grace of God was this great giant fish swallowed him up, came up onto the shores there of Nineveh. And this fish, out of this fish walked a man. The thing was, Nineveh, the city, they worshiped a fish. So to see a fish come up out of the sea and a man walk out of it, they were ready to listen to him. So it all worked into the perfect plan of God. That was the grace of God to Jonah. It was also the grace of God to Nineveh. That was God's grace that he went and said, if you don't repent, I'm going to destroy the city. But they repented. They repented when the grace of God was extended to them. Whereas Cain never repented. When grace was extended to Cain, Cain stubbed up about it. The Bible says there would be people who would do despite unto the spirit of grace. And said, and it says, the Lord said, I will recompense, saith the Lord, for vengeance is mine. But then I just read to you here in a recent service where we were talking about being forgiven. We were talking to, preaching about forgiveness. And Brother Branham said, if you've done despite unto the spirit of grace, repent, ask God for forgiveness. That even grace would be extended even after that. But see, if they reject that, then they reject their opportunity. To walk away from your opportunity for salvation, to walk away from your opportunity of grace being extended to you. I've seen people come and they would be in a situation where you would think God would have just rejected them. Many people weren't willing to accept them. But I've seen God extend grace to them. And you know what? God will require at them at their hand what they do with that grace that was extended to them. In the midst of a man running from the presence of the Lord, the Branham says, Jonah was called on. We find as an example to all of us, every one of us, we're always a running from something. We run from trouble. We run from responsibilities. We're all prone to do that. We are more prone to run than we are to stand up and face it out. We find ourselves running. Stop running. Don't get out of his presence. Just move up into his presence. I know what you're desiring to do because I see license out here from Texas and Louisiana and everywhere. That's what they're here for, is to run from his presence, but not to run from his presence, but to run into his presence. Jonah, If you've been wondering which way to go or what to do, come on, get on the ship with us tonight. We're going to Nineveh to cry out. We're letting the Tarshish ship go on down if they want to. We've got duty before God. That's the message we're responsible for. So we have a tendency. We're more prone, Brother Bram says, to run from what God wants us to do. But the grace of God is extended to us. I never wanted to be a preacher. Never in my life did I ever want to be a preacher. When people ask me, what are you going to be when you grow up? I never said I was going to be a preacher. My dad was a preacher. I grew up in a preacher's home. I knew what it was. I knew what it meant. I didn't want nothing to do with it. My brother, he was the same way. Now he's a pastor for church as well. But we didn't do it because our dad did it. We did it because God put a call in our lives. But I ran from it. I didn't want it. And even after I realized that, when I really realized what it was and started to give in to it and actually preached a few times, I still didn't want it. And so I ran from it again. And I ran as far as I could run. Joined the military, and I didn't go to church. Long as I figure I ain't going to church, I don't got to do it. And I didn't go. But you know, while I was running from God, there was a war came up. And I know there were other soldiers I saw when it come time we were going to go to war. Other soldiers were coming up with things to try to get out of going. Conscientious objector. I thought, well, if you were a conscientious objector, you should never join the army to start with. But I didn't try to do anything to get out of it. I felt, this was just my own feelings, I felt that anyone that had joined the army, that's came with it when you joined the military. And I felt anybody trying to get out of it, any soldier trying to get out of it, I felt was a coward. Was you not afraid? Yeah, I was afraid. I knew that there's a possibility I wouldn't be returning. But I was a soldier, so I was going. But I remember being over there in the desert, and we started running into difficulties. And I told a friend of mine, I said, have you ever read in the Bible or heard of the Bible story about Jonah? And he said, yes. I figured most people had one point or another, where they went to church or not, or Sunday school or not, somewhere along the line they'd had to hear about Jonah. And I said, well, I'm the Jonah. I'm the whole reason this thing has come up. It was just something that I thought that they chose to call it Desert Storm. And I said, I'm the reason for this storm. I've been running from God. And I've given my testimony here countless of times how the Lord dealt with me in that time. But even after I come back from war, I still wanted to run. I remember being up late at night, standing by the window of the apartment we lived in, just staring out the window. Because I was trying to make a decision. Was I going to get out? Or was I going to re-up and stay in? And you might think, well, why would you want to re-up? I had it good. I made good money. Family was well taken care of. Had a place to live. Was always guaranteed to have a place to live. And it was a good job. But there was something tugging at my heart to get out. And I struggled with it. Because my flesh, I didn't want to get out. And I struggled with it and struggled with it. And of course, went through what you would normally go through as you've been thinking about, well, what if I get out, what am I going to do? Right now, I've got a good living. What am I going to do? What's going to happen to me when I get out? What am I going to do then? But I knew in the back of my mind that God wanted me to get out. Finally, I made the decision, all right, I'll go ahead and get out. And you know, you'd think even after that, I would have quit running. But I still wanted to run. I still didn't want to preach. But God got me into a corner where I realized the best thing to do was what God's will was for me. When I come here, I met another person that was running from a call in his life. And he was miserable. That's how you are when you're running. You're miserable. You're miserable because you don't want to do it, but yet you're feeling this on you. You can't get away from it. And when you're running like that, it doesn't matter. You may be coming to church. You may be giving your tithe, and you may be giving offerings. You may be are very faithful and all that and worship God and sing and praise God and all this. But if you're running from something that God's placed on your life, you'll begin to feel like, man, I'm not even a good Christian. There's something that you realize you're missing, something you're not doing. But once you yield to that, finally yield to it, I'm not saying you're going to like it even then. But once you yield to it, then there's a peace that comes with it, being in the will of God. Abraham said Jonah had a lot of flaws in his life. He had a lot of flaws. We've got a lot of flaws, but God called us. Jonah had a lot of flaws, but he was still God's man. David had a lot of flaws, but he still was the apple of God's eye. He still, he still was God's chosen one, anointed one, even though he was a man and had a lot of flaws. Saul wasn't lost after what he did. He was still saved. You realize Saul was the people's choice for king. It wasn't God's choice. They wanted a king to be like the other nations. And that was their choice. Saul was head and shoulders above all the other men in Israel. He was a big fella. He was, you know, well built, well put together. Something to look at, to represent. Well, look at our king. The people chose him. But God chose David. A little ruddy fella. A little fella that he... When he came that time when Goliath was there screaming out his challenge to the people, David came up there. The armor that Saul went to give David wouldn't fit David. David wasn't a big, grown, filled out man. He was just a lad at the time. But he said, "Who is this Philistine to defy the armies of the living God?" You know, that was God's grace being extended to Israel. There they were faced with this army of the Philistines. And because they had this giant among them that came out and challenged, said, look, instead of all of us fighting, you just send me your best man. Me and him will fight, and that'll be the outcome of this thing. But Israel was sitting there afraid. Jehovah God was on their side. If anyone would have just picked up and said, I defy this giant to come against the armies of the living God. But only David, a lad, would do it. But it was God's grace being extended to them. You realize here was, they were faced with what could be a great battle that probably could have wiped Israel out. But instead, there was not one drop of Israelite blood shed. Only Goliath died. And David took Goliath's own sword, cut off the giant's head. And the armies of the Philistines, they fled. Because how could a lad kill a giant warrior? They fled before the God of Israel. They weren't fleeing from Israel. They were fleeing from the God of Israel. That was God's grace being extended to Israel. In the grace that not one drop of Israelite blood was shed, and they won the battle. But David had his flaws, but he was God's man. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm sure we're going to get into messages concerning David and his life as well. Amen. But God requires more than just to be sincere, to just worship, to just belong to a church. You just give to the church, support the church. God requires more. He requires you to surrender yourself to him. Let him become the master of your life. Amen. Let him become the Lord of your life. That's what he requires. He requires us to accept the word, the vindicated truth when it's presented to us. We'll accept it. Even if it means, no matter what it means, even if it means giving up things that we think that our flesh wants, do God's will. Amen. Let's stand. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning. God, we're thankful for your word. Lord, there's your grace that you extend to us. Each one of us, Lord, can have a testimony of the grace that you extended to our lives, where we came from, what we were in, what we were involved in, how we were mentally, how we were spiritually, and how, Lord, that you extended grace to us, Lord, to call us. Lord, when we weren't worthy, not a one of us could be worthy in ourselves, for the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags before you. But Lord, through you, through the blood of Jesus Christ, it makes us worthy. You called us, you knew us, yet you loved us. It's the grace of God. I pray your blessings on the people today, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.